Jerrica, have you started your Christmas shopping yet?
No.
Are you already shitting your pants?
Yes, like right now.
Know where you can get new pants? At the Popular Parallax merch store. Go to popularparallax.wordpress.com. Go to our store and see some beautiful items that have just been added for your viewing and consuming pleasure.
We've never been cuter.
Clinically insane and cute as hell. Popularparallax.wordpress.com.
This time on the Popular Parallax.
When you wish upon a star, your dreams come true.
The magical world of Disney. I'm Jerrica Lala, and with me, he robs from the rich and gives to the poor, Captain Nancy.
How dare you?
Oh, I got it mixed up. Rob from the poor and give to the rich?
Yes.
That's the Disney
motto. I'm a diehard capitalist. Disney's taught me anything.
Yeah, you're not a fucking commie. That's for damn sure. That's what it's all about in a magical world of Disney. So this is such a huge, ranging topic that we have been a bit selective about just picking a few favorites and a few problems.
This is going to be a 4-hour episode.
It's going to be a special this
Buckle
week.
Up.
Yeah, it's going to be a full work day of listening to our voices. Heaven.
It's 7 parts.
Everybody, I feel like almost everyone in the first world, at least, has Disney as a part of them.
Absolutely.
Like, whether you want it or not.
Oh, yeah.
It is all-pervading. Every kid sees at least a few Disney movies as they're growing up, depending on what their time frame is. And it's just sort of part of our consciousness.
That whole empire has really been a part of our formative growing years. And we come from different generations, but still have very strong ties, I think, to what we perceive as the classic
Disney It's just era. Entrenched in the entire 20th century.
Yeah, you can't avoid
into
it.
Into the century, like the way of thinking. He influenced everything about America.
He set up romantic expectations for me that were never to be fulfilled. And I'm
okay.
A little angry. So when he comes out of his cryogenic freezing, I'll have an angry letter
but,
prepared.
Okay, that's so interesting because I didn't have that side effect.
Wow, and that must be nice.
Yeah. Well, and I think part of it is there was so much fantastical about those movies that it's like, well, if I buy into that, then I have to also buy into, like, mice talking.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I was right there for it.
Right there? Yeah. So you were also disappointed that small animals did not assist you when you were making a dress.
That I couldn't fly, that sea witch would never change my whole life. Yeah.
But is that just... Okay, so this sounds like an over-umbrella problem that might go outside of Disney. Which is just that you believe everything that you see on TV.
when I'm like 2 through 5 in our household.
So you were a little slow. Yeah. It's okay to say. It's not shameful.
Will forever be.
Yeah.
Just going 35 in a 50K speed limit.
Right.
So growing up, we had a television, but we didn't have TV. Like, we didn't have cable. All we had was like a VCR. Yeah. So we didn't get a lot of TV. If we did, it was like, my parents would rent episodes of MASH or Beverly Hillbillies or like I Dream of Jeannie. Yeah.
No.
And then we would watch that or usually Disney movies, especially when we were young. So this is, in terms of entertainment, that's what I had.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah. And when I was 2 and obsessed
that's like
with
my
Peter
worst
Pan.
Nightmare, by the way.
So when I was obsessed with Peter
so you
Pan.
Didn't get any of that PBS kids programming?
No.
God, no wonder you're an idiot. Holy
Thank
shit.
You. I have a lawsuit prepared.
Okay.
Again, just waiting for
against
Mr.
your
Walt.
Own parents.
Against my parents, against Disney, against Canada. Anyone anyone I can sue. I'm
anyone
really
I was wronged by which is everybody.
The Got Catholic
it.
Church.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
It's a long list. But there were things where, so I saw Peter Pan and I was like, well, if he can fly, all he needs is a little fairy dust
And I got that and, in and spades.
A happy thought, I can do it. So I started jumping off of things, thinking real happy thoughts. I think I'd probably get a salt shaker and just like dump it on my head. And so my mom would question, why? I told her, well, when I grow up, I want to be Peter Pan. And she broke down, well, that's a movie. Those are actors. So I was like, oh, okay, well, I'll just do that. And I'll just be an actor, which is also an unrealistic job.
that's another unrealistic expectation.
Exactly, yeah. So just all around, yeah. Fancy free and
you're
full
reaching
of false
for
ideas.
It. You're going to get there.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
by
you.
By the time you're 50, you'll One be an established I'll play Peter Pan. Character actor. Yeah. Canada, folks.
Yeah. But there were a lot of these love at first sight. There's yes. going to be this, you're just going to know. You're going to see them, you're going to know. There's going to be fireworks. She's not going to have any fucking legs. She's going to be a sea monster, but you're going to be in love and it won't matter because you'll be in love and you'll have this great thing. And I remember being in university.
Look at this stuff. Isn't it neat? You stupid bitch.
It's a fucking fork.
Jesus.
And I remember being in university, being very drunk in a parking lot with a friend of mine and just like scream crying how badly I wanted to be in love and I just wanted to have like this epic romance and I just wanted it to happen for me. And all I was picturing were these like Disney moments of... This incredible
I walked with you
love
once upon
odds.
A dream.
Absolutely.
Yeah that's one of my favorites.
Your love in the forest. Now when I go into the forest looking for my love and don't quite find it, catch something instead, maybe.
Yeah. It was a lovely hookup.
And not always
it was
that.
A joke, my house,
no,
not
there's
pleasant.
A lot of but animals, but not a lot of love. So,
that's interesting, although tragic.
Right? Thank you.
And they all sort of follow that.
They do. They
Even the
do.
New modern ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still
there's
sort of
love
do
it
that.
All on against all odds.
Yeah.
Love will conquer all. Love is all you need, which is very much not true. It's led me down many, many. I mean, as I grew up, you know, you live, you learn, you get dumped a couple times, you date a few assholes. You realize that that's not all there is.
Yeah.
You know? But there's still a way. I'm still waiting for a mermaid. Like I'm still holding out for a hero.
I'm waiting for a black crustacean who like sings reggae to me, and he's like, "Don't worry, sweetheart, it's gonna be fine." And you're like, "This seems pretty racist." But
it's like a Dutch Jamaican hybrid accent. That dialect work is amazing.
It's good. I'm good.
Let's talk about a few of our
favorites.
Yeah. Let's start on a positive, even though
we've already gone right in the garbage. So why don't you go first?
Okay. So as I said, Peter Pan, so problematic when we get into like the third act.
Big time.
Oh boy.
Yeah. You're a kid. You don't know that the Indian thing is terrible. And that's Peter Pan. Listen, that's Peter Pan. That's in there. You know what I mean? It's not
the song,
just
What
Disney.
Makes the Red Man Red is not in the original J.M. Barry book.
Sorry. Didn't put that in?
No, I don't think he wrote the musical lyrics.
I forgot about it. It's been so long since I've seen Peter Pan.
Yeah.
I forgot.
Yeah.
Do you think you were attracted to that because it was like a little boy protagonist instead of a princess?
Well, yeah, I think that's one thing.
Yeah.
I think it's just the idea of this world where you never grow up. I think you can go and you can be a kid forever. This is the ideal for any child, any adult. I would fucking take that in a second. Not as an adult, that would be gross. But like if I could go back and be a child and then go to Neverland.
Sure.
I think now I'd pass because that'd be...
They'd know you were an narc. Narc! You're just there, hey everybody, and you're like, you're not Robin Williams, you get the fuck out of here.
Sitting in a corner, just like chain smoking.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's what appealed to me, that flying, being able to fly, I've always wanted to fly. And I just thought that it was really charming. And but then, on the flip side, one of my other favorites is Little Mermaid. It was a very female protagonist.
Sure. But, I mean, questionable.
What do you mean?
What are mermaids? What are mermaids? Where are the private parts? They don't have them.
She had a shell bra. That's all
that's
I needed.
That's like, she had titties.
She had titties. Yeah. Less complicated time.
Yeah, sure.
She wasn't gender fluid.
No, that was Eric. Was that the prince's name?
Eric, yes,
good.
Absolutely
I can't
it was.
Believe that just came to me.
Yeah. And, I mean, he was handsome. in terms of animated. Okay, so Robin Hood was like my first Disney like crush. If we're gonna,
yeah, I'm gonna let's fuck get that weird. Fox. Let's get that. Weird. That's it's Brian Bedford.
Yes, his exactly. Voice his is voice
beautiful. Ugh. He's a young Brian Bedford. Oh my God. Yeah, Oodalali. I fucking love that movie. That's one of my favorites.
Right. Yes. Yes.
I love it.
So those are probably growing up, those would be my two favorite. Little Mermaid, she's kind of like a tortured artist. She's misunderstood. Then she gets her voice taken away. She's
stupid.
And she's
super dumb.
You are?
She doesn't know what a fork is.
Okay, get out of your own house.
Look at this curious. Stuff.
She's
curious. Isn't it neat?
She's probably a good time at a party. She's
probably a super dumb drunk. Like, she's already dumb.
Oh my God, guys, what the fuck is this?
You're like, it's a fork, Ariel. Can you sit down? Somebody get Ariel a coffee.
Just stumbling around.
Yeah.
But it was, for that, I think that I was always more attracted to Ursula. I thought she was...
Of course you were.
The coolest. Oh my, she was this...
Big, fat broad. Big,
body woman who I later learned was modeled after a drag queen.
Of course she is. She is a drag queen.
She's a total drag queen. And she's...
It is a great character.
She's body. She's just giving it.
The big, she doesn't white give a shit. Hair.
She's conniving. Yeah. And she
her voice, she's an independent woman. Like,
she knows what she wants and she gets it. And she's got the best song in the movie.
What's her song?
Poor Unfortunate Souls.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I just remember Under the Sea, the weird Caribbean festival that happened in the ocean with all those white mermaids.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was confusing. Yeah. But it was fine. Boop, 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 boop. It sounded great. It was like, I walked out of the theater humming. It was kind of racist, but, you know, bobbing my head.
Yeah.
That was maybe one of the... No, I shouldn't say that. It wasn't the last movie I saw at the theater for Disney, because I did see a few more. So I definitely saw Aladdin at the theater.
Pocahontas would have been after as well.
I didn't see Pocahontas. I knew Pocahontas was going to be a horror show. Sure. I just, for some reason, I wasn't that... I mean, I was old enough by the time that came out, but I wasn't that old. But I was just like, I can't even do this.
It's not,
Fucking Vanessa Williams and her fucking pop song. I was just like, I hated the song, too.
I hate to like kick you out of your house twice in like 5 minutes. Paint my colors
right on your... Oh, my God.
It's amazing. Okay.
It's so patronizing. All that wolf and the moon shit. And like, it is for the racism is off the chart
in that movie.
Like,
yeah.
It is, it's one of those, like, some of them you're like, oh my God, I'm just going to look away. But this is the whole movie.
Yeah.
They change everything. And it's worse when it's not just a fairy tale person, it's a real person. Who and you know.
Fully captured. Who was fully like, and she's married just like, against her will.
Oh my God, John Smith is a dreamboat. And I'm like, he was an old man and he was a fucking weirdo. Yeah. Like,
so the story of Pocahontas, as I understand it, because there's a bunch of different. Yeah. I mean, we'll never know what really happened. But one of the versions I read is that John Smith came over. He was like, oh, she's like this hot, young, Aboriginal girl. I'm going to fucking get with that. Married her, went back to England, died. Another guy came back and was like, oh, my name's John Smith too. So, like, we're good. Hooked up with her, brought her back to England. She got syphilis on the way and died.
Yeah, she died. A lot of native people did die when they went over. And not just because it was, like, syphilis, but because there was all this... bacteria they'd never been exposed measles, to
smallpox and they would just, all these they would diseases. Just die yeah, right yeah. away well that's yeah, what happened when the settlers came over. We just brought these plagues and these horrible sicknesses.
What do you mean white people the problem? We don't do anything. We don't destroy everything. Did we fuck up
Western culture and the Western way of life completely?
Civilization completely?
Oh, do we do that?
This is just a Disney conversation. But it's like, those are the kind of movies where I'm like, like, how dare you?
Yeah.
What were they thinking doing that movie? I have no idea. And then sanitizing it to that level.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, yes, The Little Mermaid, they completely sanitized that, but it's a fucking fairy tale. Yeah. So I don't really care.
No.
But when you take a real story and you don't show any of the problems, I mean, first of all, it's not an appropriate story to do.
No.
But two, then you can't just take the idea of it and say, okay, change everything so it's super cute.
Yeah, and then we'll give her a sequel where she lives in
this is
London.
Not cute. Like, what? I saw Atlantis for some fucking reason, and that was like the worst thing I've ever seen. Poor, sorry, Michael J. Fox. Yeah. I mean, I love Michael, but that was bad.
Yeah. yet.
And it's, I felt like it was so long, but it probably wasn't. It probably wasn't much longer than any other Disney movie.
You know, I've only seen it once, and
so
I remember it.
Bored. Like, yeah. I was so bored. We were just like, oh my God, this is endless.
Yeah.
And I, maybe that's the last thing I went to. Because I was just like, fuck this.
In terms of those, like, yeah, those kinds of Disney movies before they moved into, like, the CGI animation instead of the hand-drawn stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that, yeah.
The only one of those CGI things I've ever seen is Toy Story. Is that even Disney? Yeah. It was Pixar.
Pixar. Pixar, Disney, and then they split off and came back.
That's the only one I ever, I've never seen the Cars, Wreck-It Ralph, I haven't seen any of that.
Wreck-It Ralph is cute.
Oh, do you have other favorites?
I'll stick with two.
Peter Pan and
Little Mermaid.
Little Mermaid.
Yeah,
okay.
I'd say. I mean, Lion King is obviously a classic, but if I go into more.
Hi-ya! Vaguely African sounds.
And like,
come on. Come on, Disney. Come on. It's
From
vaguely, yeah. Written by Elton John. Oh, that's great.
On the planet.
Yeah, his versions were a thrill to listen to.
Oh,
the Circle of Life. Weird, fat, English gay guy.
Oh,
like, because I remember the videos, they put him right in the cartoon.
Yeah.
But he's just standing, like, waving like this because he can't dance. He can't really look at anything because it's animation. He doesn't know where he is. He's drunk. I don't know. But he wrote these, I mean, one thing he can do, he can write a tuneful melody.
Absolutely.
And that's why they grabbed him.
Yeah.
And it worked. But I loved the African, like, lace they put on the songs. Because like, we have this classic Elton John nuts. Like, you can tell everybody this is your song. And they took that and they just put, like, some African yelling on the top. And they were like, we're all set.
And then Lion King 2, by the way, has a very, very strong Christian overtone, which I have a huge problem with. There's a song called He Lives In You.
No!
What are we talking about? What could that be your pride? Could that be... No, it's fucking Jesus.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do you watch these sequels?
Because I...
sounds life-destroying.
I'm a masochist. Jerrica? Oh, Cinderella 3, A Twist in Time. Let's fucking do this!
The pumpkin's a time machine, yes!
Now it's happened once or twice. Someone couldn't pay the price, and I'm afraid I had to rake 'em across the coals. Yes, I've had the odd complaint, but on the whole, I've been a saint to those poor unfortunate souls.
My favorites. Yeah. Snow White.
Oh, yeah.
An oldie, but... And I mean, some people are like, oh, her voice is annoying. Oh, this. I'm like, you're not getting the point, okay?
Yeah.
The artwork is heart-stopping. The prince looks like Douglas Fairbanks. Like, it has everything is going for it. They're like, let's make the prince look like this silent film star. That was because that's how old the movie is, you guys. That's how old it is.
30...
No one had ever seen something like this before, ever. In animation.
1937.
Like, all animation had been, like, little gags and little shorts and stuff, and this thing made people shit themselves. Like, it was unbelievable. I was so lucky as a kid. I got to see it a special screening of... I don't know how.
You were there in 1937? You saw it right in
theaters?
I wasn't.
It was, like, it was, like, 82. I was, like, 4. I was too young, so the witch scared the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
But I saw it on the big screen, and it was, like...
That would be a lot when she's, like, falling through the forest.
It was scary. Well, when she changes. You know when she changes? Yeah. And she's like, ah! And they've still never done anything to match that. They've done really good villains. They always do. But that transformation is terrifying. The beautiful queen turning into this witch.
Yeah.
The dwarves straight up murder her. They, like, push her off of, a cliff.
Yeah.
And she falls and she dies.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's interesting how hardcore it is. And I feel like now they feel like they have to cushion that, and they don't, like, say Mulan. I wanted Mulan to fucking stab that Hun, and she didn't. She just kept putting her knife, like, into his coat and then setting it on fire, and I'm like, he still died. Like, why do you have to soften it?
Yeah,
you know what I mean,
if you're a straight up warrior, you'd slit his throat. You'd get him gone,
right? Yeah. The ending
sexist.
Sexist. The ending still brings me to tears because it is so beautiful. That song,
that swell of me, yeah.
And the landscape when he takes her on the horse and the castle comes out of it. My castle in the clouds. Like, it's almost like going to heaven. Like, that's the weird thing about it. Like, I'm like, did she actually die?
God.
It's so interesting.
And the seven doors are the seven layers of hell, and they're, like, deciding if, like, she goes to hell or goes to heaven.
But it has that feeling about it at the end where you're going, not just going to be married and be happy, it was, like, going to paradise. Like, it is... Of course it is an unrealistic expectation, but I guess I didn't pick up on that because it was so otherworldly.
Well, and she also had like a big journey to go through to get there, and yeah, it wasn't...
Well, she had to die like Jesus, she really come back did. To life.
Yeah.
And I don't mind that true love's first kiss because it's a fairy tale. I also do like Sleeping Beauty. Like, a lot.
Maleficent?
Maleficent.
Is she scared the shit out of me. Yeah,
and how... Maleficent is so good. And how about the sequence where she goes into a trance to prick her finger and they use that music?
Yeah.
Oh, and it all goes green, her going down the hall with her hand stretched out like this. It's a masterpiece.
Yeah.
Like, these were masterpieces.
Yeah.
So I'd say Snow White is my favorite.
Okay.
And my second favorite would be Mary Poppins. It just has this, you know, and I know it's cheesy and all that stuff, but it has a magic about it.
It definitely does.
That I think you would never have even expected while you were shooting it.
Oh,
they went to every effort for that. Like, they went all out. They accomplished something that went beyond what the film is.
Yeah, beyond Dick Van Dyke's accent.
Yeah, beyond Dick Van Dyke. It doesn't even matter. Because the performance is sincere.
It's true.
And you trust him with those kids. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing creepy about it then or now. The art direction is beyond, I think, anything even now that I've seen. When you consider they were, like, in studio. Like, it's not location shooting. It's not. It's all built. And it looks, the whole thing looks like an oil painting. Like, the dad walking alone down, an avenue at night, and all that sort of weird smoke is hanging in the air. And the music. When you put Mary Poppins in and the score starts, you're like, what? Every song, you're like, this cannot all be in one movie.
Up where the smoke is all billowed and curled, between pavement and stars, is the chimney sweep world. When there's hardly no day, hardly no night, there's things off in shadow and off way in white. On the rooftops of London, cool, what a sight.
Thank you, Dick. I can see why he was cast. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Because physically, he is unbelievable. Like, he falls, he does this. And apparently, he was an athlete, but he had never danced.
What?
He had never danced.
You can't get through Step in Time.
And he had to learn that whole Step in Time thing and keep up with the professional dancers.
I'm shook.
And he fucking well did it.
Shook.
And I did read the books.
Oh, you did?
As a kid, I did.
So how do they differ quite a bit, I understand.
They do. It's sort of... I feel like what the movie tried to do was take, because the books are quite episodic. Mm. So they take some of the best episodes, like the laughing and flying and the going into the chalk world and all of that stuff. And they sort of put it into one thing. And I do think talk about a good adaptation. It works.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is in the books, I always got the feeling that Mary was a little more rough around the edges. Like, she was more, because she's a nanny.
A little more of like an Emma Thompson than a Julie.
Well, she was, not even that, it's just, no, I mean the character was just more like a Bert than a Mary. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's why they know each other. These low-class kids who need money. And she's just this magical nanny. Right. But she's still, you know, and that's, I mean, who else would you have cast? She's perfect.
Perfect. Perfect.
And she just takes the role and makes it her own.
Yeah.
And that's what you've got to do. Yeah. You can't just be like, I'm going to try to be, you know, it's like, no, just make it you.
Yeah. And it's not My Fair Lady. Don't sing the songs. Me, you know?
Yeah. Sing the songs. And I mean, no one could have sung the songs better.
No.
Feed the Birds is like murders me every time I hear it. Jesus Christ.
If they cut off your ear, if they don't like your face, it's barbaric, but hey, it's home.
When the wind's from the east and the sun's from the west and the sand in the glass is right, come on down, stop on by, hop a carpet and fly to another Arabian night. Arabian night.
Every time Disney tries to fix these racial issues, I feel like it's worse. When they go to try to fix it, the trying to fix it is painful to watch because it's never executed very well, and it ends up showing more weird racial shit, like their feelings about the people they're trying to portray, like in a Mulan,
or the certain animals they cast people in. Like
not saying, oh, just shut it down and just use white people. You can't do that. Even I was watching sequences of their live action Cinderella, and again, this is what they're doing now. They keep going back to the well. What can we do as a live action? Yeah. What can we, you know? Yeah. And they're throwing in people of color, but always in secondary or third roles.
Yeah.
You want to make a statement? Make Cinderella black. And the thing is, they did that in the 90s. They did that Brandy thing.
Which was incredible.
For TV.
Yes.
And now they're like, oh, this is a movie. We can't do that.
Yeah. It's just, and then they tried the Princess and the Frog. It doesn't have the same... The music was really weird. If you can't remember a Disney film song after you
leave... That's a problem.
Then
yeah. Yeah, because that's their whole thing.
Yeah.
I also did put... I thought that both Fantasias... The original and Fantasia 2000 masterpiece. And that's because they just let the animators do whatever they want.
Just like, here's a piece of music.
But I feel like, again, like, nobody talks about Fantasia 2000 anymore. And I went to the theater to see that, and it blew me away.
Yeah.
The sequence they did for Fantasia 2000, they did a complete animated sequence to Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue. The whole thing was in New York. It was set in, like, the 30s, and it was all drawn like The New Yorker.
Oh, my God.
It is,
I don't remember
insanely.
This.
But that's the kind of stuff, interestingly, that never does that great in the theater, because it's too artistic.
I wonder how, like,
but to me, that shows the real talent that they have in their closet, but then it spits out this kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's very interesting.
No, yeah. Fantasia is stunning.
Fantasia's it's insane. Beautiful. Like, when I was a kid and I saw those, like, little ponies with their little baby ponies, I died. It was like you seeing Peter Pan. I wanted to be one of those ponies.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be that little tiny unicorn just flying around.
Oh
my God.
The Sorcerer's Apprentice is great. The Mickey Mouse.
Yeah. Brooms. You gotta get Mickey in there.
And then
Fuck.
There's the one at the end where it's like there's that giant monster on the mountain.
Yeah, it's like Death
It's like the
Mountain
end of the world
or whatever it's
or
called.
Yeah,
it's like a hellscape.
And it's crazy. Yeah. And you just see these things as a kid that just blew my mind. They were the darkest things I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
It was so unbelievably, like, just outside my... like
your scope.
My scope, my any understanding I had about life and death. And I just fucked me up, man.
I feel like every decade has, like, a few real ups and then a couple of real plonkers.
Yeah.
Well, because even just... sometimes the plonkers do pretty good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, they make money.
The Lone Ranger still made some money.
Was that a Disney? Of course it was a Disney thing.
Yeah,
that was unfortunate.
That was
again.
That was a real misstep on many people's parts. Yeah. So we were talking about, as well, now we see Disney returning to the classics. And just remaking them
as live action film. We had Maleficent.
Yeah.
We had Cinderella, directed by Kenneth Branagh.
Right.
Okay.
I
think they're like, we're gonna class this up big time.
Right.
It's all gonna be, and all the actors in it are good. Like, I mean, they got Derek fucking Jacobi as the king, who's like unbelievable, right? And then you've got
what's the Cate Blanchett?
Cate Blanchett is the evil mom,
Lady Tremaine.
Lady Tremaine. This is a lot more painful to sit through when it's happening to a real person. And you're just like, she's spineless. Why is she not?
Being abused in real time.
Abused. Yeah. It's horrifying. And it's harder to watch than the cartoon for whatever reason. Cate Blanchett is sort of almost too good. She's too cruel.
Mm.
And why did this woman's waist have to be smaller than the fucking cartoon? I have no idea. Like, her waist is like 20 inches or 19 inches or something. And it kind of like starting to make you puke by the end. You're just like, take a breath. Like, it can't be real.
Give that girl a fucking...
Yeah, and it's so funny because I remember her interview at the time. She's like, oh, I was fine. I mean, I couldn't eat for 3 days. But I mean, other than that, you're like...
My organs have been displaced forever.
Yeah,
but...
I mean, she's obviously corseted. And I mean, she is a small... She's a small woman. Like, don't get me wrong.
That's...
But they have pulled in this waist. And I'm just like, what is this misogynist crap?
Yeah.
Like, that we still have to have this waste. Why are we doing this?
Yeah. Yeah, it's so unnecessary. And it really goes against what I feel they're trying to do now, at least with Beauty and the Beast, where they made her the inventor instead of her father. And,
right.
You know, putting women forward, which is fantastic. But then you've got this
but they can't, because it's all men. This is all men. They're still all men in charge.
Yeah, right.
And you can
things.
Tell, like, it's right in your face. You're just like, oh, okay.
And so now, so we've
and then,
got
yeah,
those.
Beauty and the Beast, people shit themselves over Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
Like, that was I feel like that had the biggest buildup, because they had the biggest stars.
Yeah.
I didn't go see it.
Neither
I just watched sequences. I'm a little nonplussed.
Yeah.
And the biggest reason, it's not that it's so bad, but I'm just like, why did we do this? Like, why did we spend $100 million, whatever the movie, like, it must have been a huge budget.
Huge amount of huge, money. Huge.
To basically reshoot a cartoon in live action. They did add some sequences and stuff.
And like, they I'm added not some saying. Songs and whatever.
Yeah, it's not that nobody thought about it. They tried to do a thing. This movie was pretty good the first time. Mm-hmm. Why remake a movie about Stockholm Syndrome? Like, I don't quite get what this is.
Yeah.
Like, leave it as the cartoon with a woman who can sing, doing the voice. Sorry, Emma. Like, you can't sing. She's very cute. And she also kind of looks like a kid still to me, which kind of boogered me out a little bit.
I wonder how old Belle is supposed to be. Like, probably like not 16.
Old. Not old. So, fair enough. Like, the casting's fine. But everybody else looked like an adult next to her. I mean, maybe they should have cast younger with the Beast as well. Just so it didn't look as weird. Because, I mean, to me, he looks like an adult. She looks like a kid.
Yeah.
Even once he changes.
Right.
To, like, remember in the cartoon when he changed into a Barbie doll with a huge steroid body?
Prince Adam?
That doesn't really happen in this. He's just, like, a more, like, he's a nice-looking guy, but he's not, like, gorgeous or anything.
What's his nuts from Downton?
Yes, that's what his name is.
Dan Matthews or
And it's fine. It's fine, but he does look older than her. You know what I mean? Even as a guy.
Sure, yeah. I mean, she's almost 30 in real life, but still you have
to. Is she really?
I think so.
I guess they must be.
Yeah.
She doesn't look it. But that might, maybe it's just me thinking of her other role. You know, the role no one will ever forget and they're going to be stereotyped for the rest of their lives. That role. Yeah.
I mean, she's
not unfortunately, she'd been in a school play before that movie. Like, these people have hit the fucking jackpot.
She's doing fine. Yeah.
She's doing just fine.
Yeah, yeah.
They're lucky they've gotten anything else. That's how I look at, like, you should look at any other gig you get as, like, icing on the cake. Because that Potter stuff was a fluke for those kids.
Yeah.
Especially the two supports. Because, what's his name? Radcliffe. Yeah. Had been in a couple, he'd been in, like, Oliver on BBC and stuff. Like, he'd done a couple of little gigs.
Okay.
But the other two had done nothing. They'd been in school plays. That's what they'd done. Because they were little kids.
Yeah.
And they just went, okay, you two. And it's just like, that's hitting the jackpot right there. They could have retired after those movies.
Oh.
And then you decide, okay, I want to keep being an actor. Well, you better be fucking good.
Yeah. And to be fair, there's some things that I've seen Emma Watson in that I've quite enjoyed. I thought she was pretty good in Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Bling Ring.
The Bling Ring.
That was her most, because I did sort of forget who it was.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
But then we've also got The Jungle Book, which I did see. And the weird thing is they're coming with two Jungle Book. There's one that, the one that came out, and then there's another one that's not Disney. It's more faithful to the book. Which, why? Like, again, why?
Yes.
Is there no Andy Serkis? I understand.
Brainstorming, right? You guys. Like, holy shit.
Do you really need to go back to that? If it's being done by Disney, which has all the money to do whatever they want.
Yeah.
You're going up against that. Cool. If it's a better movie, cool, great, good idea. But,
but will it be?
Will it be?
Yeah.
Can it be? I mean, I was really impressed with this. The CGI was fantastic.
Right.
The voices were awesome. Christopher Walken as King Louie was so good.
Christopher Walken is anything.
I know.
I'm buying what you are selling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only downfall to that movie was Scarlett Johansson.
Is she a snake or something?
She was Ka. And it was this weird thing where
she talks like this.
Yeah.
She has a very sexy
and it was
voice.
Like Ka was seducing Mowgli.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's sex.
Yeah, but a snake.
He's fully sex.
A snake is like a vampire. It's they just so want to eat you. They don't care.
But yeah, you're not gonna like. I have issues with her.
All right.
But then we've got coming up The Little Mermaid, which I could not be more opposed to. Because I think it's one of those things where you hold it so dear, the original. If you're gonna remake that movie, you have to remember
it's not gonna be better than Splash.
It's not gonna be.
So fuck everybody.
Fucking men. Just re-release that.
Yeah. I thought that was a real mermaid. I mean, sure, I was seven, but was fucking real.
Daryl Hannah had me fooled. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But also, what, like a third of that movie takes place underwater? You can CGI animals. How do you make it
this stuff
look natural?
Isn't it neat?
These people underwater.
I can't wait to see a real girl singing that song, and I'll be like, wow, you're dumber than I thought.
I'm just, it's probably going to be like Cara Delevingne. I don't, I'm so mad.
It's a weird choice, but I just think they're going through all of their, like, quote, classics and redoing them.
Yeah,
they're just like,
are there any other, like...
Well, they'll do Lion King.
Mm.
hey, it's gonna be again. It's gonna be worse in person.
But we have the musical. We have the Julie Taymor masterpiece.
It's going to be, but it's gonna be like a Jungle Book thing. That's what I think. But without any people.
So then, why do it?
Exactly.
We have Jonathan Taylor Thomas giving you.
I honestly think they're gonna do it. I think they're gonna do it because I feel like they're systematically doing everyone, whether it's a good idea or not. Like doing the Jungle Book. That was a weird choice to me.
It was a weird choice.
Just because I was just like, the Jungle Book, I'm not sure how successful for Disney that movie even was.
I don't think it was, yeah,
like,
no.
It was successful enough, but it wasn't like a...
One of their heavy hitters.
Yeah, it wasn't a Cinderella, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no,
and I absolutely. Mean, are they going to do Pinocchio? Because fuck, that's already scary.
Oh, that movie, yeah, that...
Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh, there's some... That gets dark. That and Dumbo, those movies get real dark.
And then there's Bambi. Mm-hmm. It's just like, mom getting killed over and over again. Like, oh, God.
Yeah, I don't think they'll remake any of those.
I hope not.
I fucking hope not. Well, yeah. And then you look at, like...
But I wouldn't put it past them.
No.
Like, it's not like, if that came out tomorrow, I'd be like, like, I wouldn't be surprised.
No, but no Peter Pan remake has worked. No Peter Pan remake or reboot has ever worked.
Not really, no.
Disney hasn't done it.
Hook was kind of cute. I mean, I think it's charming enough.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I like the kids in it. Yeah. But that was a Spielberg thing.
Yes.
And that's why, like, Spielberg with kids is, like, quite magical. Like, he can get kids to do whatever. Robin Williams did seem like a weird choice, but it worked.
He was great.
He worked.
Absolutely great. But Julie Roberts was there.
It was kind of silly, but... It's sort of, at least it was a different take on it. You know what I mean? Everybody remembers
it. Not just a straight remake.
Rufio and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But then there's been a couple other, like, more recent.
Well, they did the one with Rooney Mara's Tiger Lily.
Yeah, yeah, they did that.
After 2010?
And they did really? Like, this, like, Hugh Jackman one, where he was, like.
I think that was the same one.
What? Oh, that was this. That
I
was
think
that
was
one.
The same one. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I just thought there was another. Oh.
And then they did one in the early 2000s, just called Peter Pan.
Fucking weird thing with like Johnny Depp as J.M. Barrie, where they were like, he wasn't a pedophile. Everything's fine. Oh, and I was just like, can we just see a more balanced review of this? Because he was a pedophile.
Yeah. Him and
I think he had pedophile-y thoughts.
I think they were both a little.
And I would have respected the movie more if it at least made me have some doubt. But they were like, what do you mean? Of course, he was a totally normal man. And I was just like, but that... I mean, sometimes people who write these kinds of like genius artists and stuff, they have problems.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's not, by the way, not an excuse for that kind of behavior at all. But I'm just saying, don't just whitewash it and pretend that nothing was there and nothing was wrong with him.
Yeah.
Because there was something wrong with him. They really changed it around. It's too bad.
From
Depp,
what I've read
Depp
about
is
him,
good.
Yeah.
Like, he's good in it. Like, he usually... Oh, sure. Winslet. As long as he's not playing a fucking pirate, I can watch him.
Rescuers?
I do remember Rescuers the Rescuers.
Anita from the original Rescuers.
Oliver and Company. Remember that?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Billy Joel.
Yes.
Yes. Billy Joel. Bette Midler. Yes.
I think that was the first time they were like, what if we got a pop star, like a middle-aged white guy, do all these songs? And everybody was like, yay.
But
and
then they did it.
Yeah. I think that might have started too with, and now this, I don't think this was Disney, but what was the movie with the mice with the song with Linda Ronstadt? Somewhere out
Fievel,
there.
Fievel,
yeah.
Fievel.
But that's not Disney.
No, I don't think so.
But every cartoon in the 80s is about fucking rodents. Like, that's the other thing I don't understand.
Yeah, that's interesting, too, yeah.
But those were just when it started to be like, you know, if we can work a pop song into this, we are going to expand into the parents, and it worked.
Yeah.
Like, remember, I think the first time Disney full out did it was for Beauty and the Beast. So they got Celine Dion. They were like, hey, 18-year-old Canadian weirdo, why don't you sing this? And she did, and it went big. Canadian weirdo. Like, they're like, are you sure you're a pop star? Or are you, like, the pop star's assistant? And she's like, I am a pop star in Montreal. And they were like, okay. And then they heard her voice, and they were like, holy shit. And so they had her sing it with Peebo Bryson or...
I have no idea.
Somebody like that. Brian, so they sang it, Tale as Old as Time.
Yeah.
And that was, I feel like that was the first Disney pop song
hit. Where they really, they could like capitalize on.
Yeah, because then they just started pumping them out. Yeah. They were just like, every time we do a movie, we're going to do the movie version, but then we're going to get a pop star to also sing this song.
And so we can get it on the airwaves.
So we can get it out there. Yeah. And it worked because the songs are very catchy.
They've got Christina Aguilera, you got Elton John. New world.
We had Vanessa Williams singing All the Colors of the Wind because they were like, hey, you're kind of light brown. This is perfect. Like, I'm so, and by the way, I apologize if this sounds really crass. This is how I view Disney viewing this stuff.
Yeah.
And that's the honest truth. Yeah. They're just sort of like, you look-ish like the cartoon. It's totally appropriate for you to sing that. Because I was just like, did they try to get some, like, why didn't they try to get, like, Buffy St. Marie? Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm not saying, there aren't a lot of native pop singers, but there are like one or two who I might have given a dingle before I went to Vanessa Williams.
Absolutely.
Especially for that movie, because it was so touchy.
If you try, you can find someone.
And I mean, maybe they did, maybe they said no. Like, I wouldn't blame somebody for saying no. I wish there was just a little more effort to try to make this legit.
Well, then with Mulan, you've got Christina Aguilera doing the Reflection song. And
the Mulan songs didn't thrill me either, by the way. Like that, I'll make a man out of you. I was full on vomiting.
We'll
like,
bring honor to us all. Oh my God. Not great.
Can I just say, like, I don't want to go in too hard on Mulan because I know it's one of your favorites or one that you really like.
I enjoyed it. Yeah.
But they do this stuff with Disney. They're trying to put out this message about women, and it's a whole thing about playing another gender role and stuff like that. And I'm like, why is this more sloppy than when Shakespeare had a woman play a man? Like, it feels the Emperor's Council is the antagonist, which is fine. Okay, so this is your character setting up to be a bad guy. But why is he constantly made fun of for being effeminate? And they're like, oh, only his, the only girl he knows is his mother. And, you know, I don't scream like a girl. And then he's like, they say I'm not tough, but he has slippers. And it's this big fucking joke.
Huh.
And it pissed me off so large.
I mean, maybe they're setting it up to show that it is just a chauvinistic society that she's trying to break through. She's breaking those glass ceilings.
No, but he's the villain. And this is like, it's like the, it's okay to mock him because he's the villain, but why are they mocking him for this stuff in a movie that's supposed, and I get it, it's a
that's
patriarchal society and stuff, but he's still doing the whole, like, she's a woman and she has to die.
Right.
But then it's also like, she's one of the ones laughing at him. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like,
if she was,
And also, he was had the most cartoon like Chinese accent.
I wonder if he was. Let's see if we can find out.
He probably was, but I didn't like the Emperor had this sort of Chinese / British like delivery, which to me is saying like, this is how a classy guy sounds.
Right.
And then the bad guy's like, oh, but sir. And it's also, it's to me, it was like the most Chinese guy is the coward. You know what I mean? Like, I got some bad vibes coming off of some of their characterizations from Mulan. I feel like it's just stuff that the writers are doing like second nature without even thinking about it, because these are the tropes that we always fall into.
Yeah.
Like, it's not being done maybe maliciously, but it doesn't mean that it's not there.
Right.
Because as I watched other Disney clips, I noticed that it's the same problem with, like, Robin Hood, like Prince John. They sort of make him a mommy's boy, and he sucks his thumb, and it's all that, and they make fun of that.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's Peter Houstonoff, and it's fucking funny. It's funny, but it's this, it's, I feel like this is what they go to with the, oh, we'll make him a coward. What does a coward mean? Effeminate.
He's a sissy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that is troubling to me.
Yeah.
Especially in Mulan, that was supposed to be, one, newer, and two, it directly dealing with gender issues.
Right.
So that was really iffy to me.
That's an interesting point.
But some of the animation was really good. So.
But you like that battle in the snow?
Yeah, I did. I did. Like, some of it, I was like, holy shit. Like, that battle was great.
But no, that's a really good point.
Yikes!
Looking through the cast on IMDb, it's a lot of white people. Make an effort. A part of me wants to be like, oh, it was a different time. You know, we weren't in this sort of level of cultural consciousness.
But they're choosing to make this movie.
That's the thing. If I would hope at any point people would have the sense to say, are we doing it justice? Are we being respectful? Are we casting people who are appropriate for these roles?
Yeah.
Which it was not happening.
No.
And it still isn't happening.
No, because they want to make it a hit. They're nervous casting any... they want people the general American public's going to recognize right away. That's part of it, right? Yeah. It's not just... And that's what they have no problem casting, like, a black comedian, even if it may not be completely appropriate for that part.
Because
everybody knows who it is. Yeah. Everybody loves them.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, it's interesting. No, I was just like, did nobody think of making this dragon female? I guess not. That's what I would have done, because then it's her little fairy godmother on her shoulder, even if it's an idiot. And I still think it would have been funny.
Sure.
Yeah. As a woman, and I would have been way less creeped out by that bath scene if the dragon had been female trying to help her instead of a guy going, there's a couple things I know they're going to notice. I was like, Eddie... Calm down.
You didn't write this, and I know.
But he may have, like, that's what I wondered too. Like, Robin Williams was super pissed with Disney because he said that he basically ad-libbed that entire character and he got no writing credit and no writing money.
Really?
And he said, I wrote like 90% of that material.
I believe it.
Now, I don't know if that's the case with Eddie or not, but a lot of it felt like his shit.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Especially those crazy asides that he would throw in and stuff.
Sure. Yeah.
Because I think the animators hear it and they're like, yes, and they just put it in.
Right.
Because they know that it's a good laugh, right?
I wouldn't doubt it, especially if he comes from stand-up, if he comes from...
Well, that's what they want. Because they want the character to be super funny.
Yeah.
One last overlooked Disney, Emperor's New Groove. Oh, I just thought of it. Speaking of comedians...
Alana!
I fucking hate David Spade. Like, I'm just gonna come right out and say it. And my mom had to like hold me down physically to make, because she was like, this movie's funny, just watch it. I was like, no, Disney. And then I watched it and I was like, this is pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
Yzma, and that was another one of their sort of B releases too. Like, it didn't have the big money of like a Beauty and the Beast or something.
Yeah.
Eartha Kitt, Get Lost.
She's perfect.
Yeah. And all the guys, like, they have like John Goodman.
Who's John Goodman? Oh, yeah, he's like
And there. They have him and the guy from Seinfeld.
God, yeah.
Like, they have all these hilarious voices in
it.
Yeah. Eartha Kitt's character, like, totally looks like her. She's just, like, skinny, broken down old lady, but kind of stylish.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's super good. So good.
Massive eye.
No touchy. That's what I do remember about it. I thought it was so funny. I was just like, oh, that's like me. I don't like the touchy either.
I tend to... Yeah, it's some of those B ones that are I find better, and when you go back to I don't know, because this is before my time, but like,
oh Lord,
The Fox and the Hound. Disney's always been excellent in that way of like breaking my heart. When you go to The Fox and the Hound, when you go Dumbo, Bambi.
That's Walt Disney's whole secret, is ripping your heart out.
Yeah.
They're not afraid to go there. And again, I think that's been dumbed down in the newer ones.
Yeah, no. But absolutely.
Those old ones, they go that, like, holy hell, like, whose mom is not dying this time?
Yeah.
Jesus.
In Dumbo, when she's rocking him, and she, oh my God.
Yeah. I think Walt himself, as much of a flawed character as he was, he had this primal understanding of what would push people's buttons and what would really make people engage on an emotional level, and that's what would draw them to these movies.
Totally.
And I was gonna say as well, we've barely scratched the surface, but if you want to get into the incredible story and the politics of Walt Disney himself and the Disney Empire, there is a documentary called Walt Disney on American Experience, which you can see stream for free on the PBS website. So just go and Google Walt Disney American Experience, and it will let you stream. If you're in North America, you can stream it, and it's free, and you can watch it, and I truly recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
You probably have to watch it in two parts. It's like 3 hours long.
Oh, wow.
But it is, because it's American, because some of these American experiences are really good. Like, I love, like, the Amelia Earhart one. There's some really good ones. They are not afraid to go into the darker and more negative aspects of Disney as a person.
Yeah.
Whereas I find when Disney tries to do it, say, for example, in like a Saving Mr. Banks kind of movie, that was intriguing, but it came off like propaganda for Disney as well, even though it was charming. Like, it was very well done. But Disney in it is like the greatest guy in the world. They're like, who's everybody love? Tom Hanks. Let's get him. He's totally charming. And you don't get even a shadow of that other side. And there was another side. There's a weirdo who's like completely like paranoid about communists and all of this weird stuff. I mean,
just appropriated and was.
I'm not sure about the appropriation. I mean, he just wanted America to stay the same. Like, he wanted it to stay white and male, mm-hmm. with women in there, but as in their place. Mm-hmm. And that's why the movies did stay that way. And as political things changed in the world, they had less luck mm-hmm. pushing that shit on people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, it's
very interesting.
It is. And it's one thing to look at these movies that, as I said at the beginning of the episode, like, did really shape how I viewed the world in a lot of ways. Yeah. But then to know where they came from, who is behind them, the company behind them. Like, these are really important things to look at, so it's not just this blanket. Disney's yeah. amazing. Disney's great because there's a lot of things about Disney that are great.
Yes.
But there's a lot of
things about Disney that are... There's always a flip side. And I mean, the sequence, and I'm not going to go into it because I really urge you to watch this documentary because they explain it a lot better than I could, but the sequence they get into on Song of the South is incredible. It's very interesting. There was stuff in there I knew a little bit about it, but I had no idea how big the protest was even at the time that it came out in the 40s of how unbelievably not just racist but like denialist.
Yeah. Like, for those who don't know Song of the South,
it's this quote charming thing about Uncle Rebus who's on a southern plantation. It's set directly after the Civil War. So you have to think these people have been living in slavery. They're still on the plantation. Like they're slaves. There's a master slave thing set up, but he tells the kids, and then there's like one black kid and a few white kids in the movie, and he tells them American folk tales. And I think Disney's real wish was to have these fully American folk tales getting told to the public that were sort of lost or hidden. So fair enough, but he disregarded any thinking about the reality of the situation that he was placed. And by the way, this isn't animated. This is real. This is real people. And they did, I mean, I think it was a great practice for Mary Poppins in a way. There's all these sequences where like Uncle Rebus is singing and stuff and all these little animated animals are coming at him in the forest. And it looks fantastic, but the movie is like a stink bomb of political and racial, just a disaster.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, there's you can't find Song of the South now, and Disney does not make it available. And that's part of my problem is they bury it and they pretend that it didn't happen.
Yeah.
You can YouTube some of it though.
Yeah. So I mean, we all know Zippity-Doo-Dah.
Yeah. You know, it's a very cheerful slave that's just come through the Civil War. It's mind blowing. That's what they felt right to do. And I think some of that legacy just lives on. They can't help themselves. That's the biggest problem that they have.
Yeah.
And the biggest problem they have is not hiring more of a diverse staff of writers and directors and animators. That's how it's going to get fixed.
Yeah.
You can't just have the same white staff keep trying to band-aid this problem because they make it worse.
Yeah.
That's how I feel anyway.
Absolutely.
They make a Pocahontas and they dig the grave deeper.
Yeah. Yeah. You can say, oh no, diversity in front of the camera. We're miles ahead of where we were 10, 20 years ago. But behind the camera, it's the creative team that are the people who are making this product.
That's right.
Are those people being... Are correctly representing who the story's about.
So it's just a little something to think about.
Just a little this lighthearted.
This is the most political this the show has ever gone. Welcome to season two, everybody. We're both white. I'm going to put that out there in case you couldn't. Nobody was sure. Like, holy shit.
Let's preface.
But these are just things that we have observed.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. I can't put myself in someone else's shoes, but this is what I observe with some of these issues.
And why going forward, I am a bit trepidatious in terms of Disney and partaking in Disney's wares is just because it's poor, unfortunate souls, I think.
Right.
Yep,
right?
Gay men doing Disney covers.
I mean, the music can't be questioned, right? The music cannot be questioned.
No.
You remember it for the rest of your life, even if you don't even like it that much. You're just like, well, now I'm stuck with it.
Oh, there's just around the river bend, just playing. Yeah. I guess I'm here for 4 days now.
What show is that from? Is that Pocahontas? Just around the river bend.
I look once more.
Look at these people, these human beings. Consider their potential. From the day they arrive on the planet and blinking step into the sun, there is more to see than can ever be seen. More to do than... No, hold on. Sorry, that's the Lion King.
My favorite way to piss off like hardcore Disney people, they're full adults.
Yeah.
Full adults.
Yeah, should know better.
When Beauty and the Beast was coming out, they were pooping their pants. They were so excited. And I just have to say, like, oh my God, who can forget Beauty and the Beast? a whole new world. And they're like, ah, Jericho, that is not from Beauty and the Beast. That is, and I'm like, isn't it? I think you're going to find you're wrong, isn't it? And they go, it's totally insane. Because, of course, they don't have a lot of humor about them because they're Disney fans.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, it's good.
No, people who get defensive about Disney, you can't talk to them about any sort of qualms you have with Disney because they'll...
No. I think it's the same for any rabid fandom.
I don't know, because I feel like I can be a fan... Well, I'm amazing. I feel like I can be a fan of something and still be critical of it and still say,
I try to be, but I find I like the sound of my voice being critical, but then somebody else is like, that Doctor Who is stupid. I'm like, go fuck yourself.
You just don't understand it.
So it's a 400-year-old man with a little girl. It's fine.
He's a Time Lord.
It's not pervy. I hate you. Don't call me. That's why nobody ever comes here.
Oh, that's what the... Yeah, okay. That makes sense. Where you live in a cave.
No, I'm not quite that bad. But people are almost that bad. Like, some parts of some fandoms are pretty crazed.
Well, I remember you talking about when you did the Sailor Moon episode about how people were very much... I don't know, we are like OG Sailor Moon, will not touch this crystal bullshit.
Yeah. And it's just like, well, you're missing out.
Because it's incredible.
And that's your choice. Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah.
But it's always good to give something a chance. I mean, everybody has that urge. Because I remember when Doctor Who came back, I was like, don't reboot this. Holy shit, it's going to be awful. And then I saw the trailer on television and I went crazy.
Yeah.
Because immediately you could see it was right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sure. So you've got to give it a chance.
When it's right, it's right.
Yeah, when it's right, it's right. And sometimes these reboots, and they don't work. Yeah, it's never a great idea to just shut yourself off from anything in life.
Yeah.
Especially entertainment, because we need it.
It's subjective, and it's fucking wonderful.
Absolutely.
So shut up and fucking enjoy yourself.
Yeah, just enjoy yourself, and just let the racism keep you up at night.
Yeah, let it wash over you, and let it fuel your anger at the patriarchy, at your parents, whoever you want to direct that
towards. Stop doing patriarchy.
Stop it, and just start writing more angry letters.
That's right. This was excellent.
What a time.
What a time we've had with our... mermaids with no vaginas.
Do they poop?
Weird. We don't know. I don't know how to fish poo. Maybe they've got like a slit in their
so gross. Weird.
I don't know.
Just swimming along.
Just dropping pooping. Yeah.
Do you think they swim in like single file or like in a V? Like a V, like birds. Yeah, because you'd have to avoid all the oncoming feces. It's just... this is my life as
Look
a gay
at
man.
This
but...
stuff. And our Pinocchios, our Jiminy Crickets.
Mm-hmm. All our wood and our bugs.
Princesses, mm-hmm. Our weird talking creatures. It's the magical world of Disney. Our nannies, bad dads that have a miraculous transformation at the
end.
Our
nannies that are literal dogs.
Nannies that are Julie Andrews. That was a spinoff. Julie Andrews with Nanny the dog.
Like a Thelma and Louise, like road
Make
trip
it
style.
Right now. Make it before she dies.
Yeah.
No, get her.
Yeah, oh, no, you have to get her.
And like
but someone
a
write
big
it.
Dog.
Yeah, a Beethoven. But it's...
We could write that.
Yeah, I'd watch that. Julie Andrews and a dog on a fucking road trip.
Oh my God.
Singing.
Just going through fixing kids' lives.
Yeah.
Like getting the dog, like, drags the parents away.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, she comes in. She's got a bunch of citrus for all these kids with scurvy.
Yeah.
And, like, this crack house. Yeah.
Take that, Disney. How Come about on. That for a new movie?
Yeah.
Instead of these remakes.
Yeah, we got ideas.
This could be, like, Mary Poppins Twist in Time. And the car is a time machine.
Requiem for a Mary Poppins.
Yes!
Robin Hood and Little John walking through the forest, laughing back and forth at what the other has to say. Reminiscing this and that and having such a good time. Oodle lolly golly, what a day.
You can join us next month. But until then, thanks for joining us this time and see you then. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, thanks again for joining us on our voyage through the magical world of Disney. Come back next month for a black and white Christmas where food, family, classic holiday movies, and Nancy's abs are all up for discussion. New jacked up popular Parallax theme song by Ken Chamberlain. He's here to win. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, and until next time, be bold and have fun.